As we get started today, I want to read Psalm 121, 1 through 8. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Psalm 121 is the second psalm of a 15-psalm section of 120 through 134. It's called the Songs of Ascent. Now, there's no consensus on exactly what that title means. We could take an educated guess, though, that what the assembly during the days of Nehemiah would have understood these psalms to be. And some scholars suggest that the word ascent, or in some translations, degrees, give us a picture of starting at a lower level, then rising to the next level. Since Jerusalem is a city on a hill, and these psalms may have been written during the Babylonian captivity, it makes sense that they would use these psalms to help them focus on rising to the hill, to Jerusalem, as God brings the faithful remnant back to the temple so they could rebuild it. So it could have been one of those that helped them stay faithful as they were waiting for the day God would bring them back home. What we do know is that this psalm remained part of the worship service at the temple during the first century. So anybody who attended the service would know it by heart. And when I think about the Apostle Paul sitting in prison while writing the letter to the Ephesians, I can imagine that he's probably singing this psalm to help him stay focused on the Lord. It would encourage him to keep going because he knows that the Lord will protect his life and that someday he will be brought out of prison and taken back home. Well, as we continue our series on the armor of God that was written at the end of the letter to the Ephesians, we are reminded of how important faith is during the times when the devil is attacking us. Today, we're going to talk about the shield of faith. So let's take our Bibles out. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to look at Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. That's our passage for the series. Page number 979 in the Pew Bible, if you want to look it up that way. But Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. After dressing up in the armor, the soldier has a very important piece that he holds while fighting. And this would be the shield that protects him while he's in battle. And that's what we're going to talk about. So we're going to go Ephesians 6, 10 through 16 this time. So 10 through 16. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Let's pray. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for this reminder of how important faith is. That faith is a shield that can protect us as we go about your business every day. I pray that you'll be with us through this sermon today. All of us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the words in all circumstances could also be above all, and it's a reference to the shield that's covering all the armor. And that's why I like the words above all, so we get a better picture of this piece of armor that's being used. So this shield here, let's talk about this. This shield was not a child's toy. I used to work in a Christian bookstore back when I was in college, and they had a section, you know, the kids section, and they had these videos and all kinds of toys and things like that. And there was a character called Bible Man. And they had this guy dress up in the armor of God, and he would have all these things on here, and it was actually pretty cheesy. I think the guy that starred used to be on Charles in Charge, I think that's, but anyway, he dressed up as Bible Man and had his adventures, and he would put on his full armor of God, and he would go out and battle the devil and win every episode, of course, because you have to win every episode. That's just the way a superhero goes, right? So anyway, it got kind of cheesy, and I guess it worked to get the armor of God into the minds of the kids, but I don't know if that sent a good message or not. But anyway, he had this little pitiful-looking shield. It's kind of plastic, and you know, Captain America had a better shield than that, but anyways, it's kind of a little bitty thing, and then you had your little sword and all that. Well, this was not the shield that the Roman soldier had. What a little bitty thing. The Greek word used for shield is closely related to the Greek word that's used for door. So while some armies may have used a small round shield that you moved around, the Romans used a large rectangular door that covered the whole man. So just imagine that door over there, and you have it on your arm, attached to your arm. You see, the shield was as wide as a man's body, and it was up to about 4 feet tall. So I'm 5'10", so I guess about shoulder height, maybe. Maybe a little bit. No, 4 feet tall, probably around stomach area. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, yeah. So I guess the pulpit, maybe about the size of this pulpit. So just imagine that, and then, you know, strapped onto here, and you're lifting it up and carrying it. So that thing probably weighed pretty good. So you had to make sure you're building up, you know, for that. But just imagine how tough that would be to penetrate. See, the shield was usually made of light wood or a rim of brass covered with several folds of thickness of stout hide, which was preserved by frequent anointing. It was held by the left arm, secured by straps for that arm. The outer surface of the shield was made with edges, so it was basically a rectangular shape, just like a door. The outside of the shield was polished smooth or anointed with oil, so that it could help deflect the arrows and darts. They would just kind of bounce off as they hit. So just kind of, you know, hit and bounce. They wouldn't stick in. Well, this thing was so big, it could protect your entire front. And when you have it up, it's covering everything. Where you're totally protected. The arrows were set on fire and shot at the opposing side in order to hit them from far away. Well, the shields were big enough to stop those arrows without having to be moved. Like smaller shields, you know, smaller shields, you'd have to try to figure out where it's at. Well, this big one, it doesn't matter. You just pick it up and the whole thing protects you. See, the smaller shields, you'd have to see that arrow first and then move around like Captain America trying to shield, you know, keep the stuff away. Well, that would work if you were able to see the arrow. But in most battles, they were being ambushed. They would come from places where you don't see them. Or there would be so much dust and dirt flying around, you couldn't see anybody over there, so you're basically just kind of swatting at the air if you're trying to defend yourself from the arrows. So this huge door was actually a lot better because you don't have to do all of that. You just pick it up, and it doesn't matter where it's coming from, you're protected. Well, the shield was always leading the soldier, and that's something we need to keep in mind. When advancing on the enemy, the shield was always the first piece of armor out front. It protected a soldier so he could get his weapon ready to strike. So he'd have the shield out here, have his weapon in his hand, ready to hit. So the shield would help him to clear a path as he's getting in closer to be able to use his weapon to strike. So the shield's helping move people out of the way. So it's a very, very important piece of this armor. And they call it the shield of faith. So Paul talks about faith being like a shield. So let's talk about individual faith. This would be each person and their own faith. See, faith should not be a child's toy. True faith is courageous. It's not something you just play around with on Sunday mornings. True faith is something that helps you live life courageously. Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is conviction of things not seen. Conviction means a firmly held belief. And if you firmly hold on to your belief in God during those times of trial, you will be courageous for Him. Think about the courage that Noah had, who was faithful during those years he spent building the ark. I'm sure that he had moments when he felt like he was ready to give up, but his courageous faith kept him going. And we know the rest of the story as he built the ark and he was saved and saved mankind from the flood. We also see in Acts chapter 12 the story of Peter getting arrested for preaching Jesus, but his courageous faith kept him going. God protected him from harm. That kind of faith right there is definitely not a child's toy. It is definitely not some little worthless piece of plastic. This faith is something that was big enough to protect the entire person. That's the kind of faith we need. That courageous, bold faith in God. And that's the kind of faith that can protect us. This is a faith that is big enough to keep us protected as we continue on. The Christian soldier is protected by the shield of faith. Whatever Satan throws at us can be successfully deflected by a complete trust in God. I'm not paying attention to what that devil's doing over there because I am trusting in the Lord. I don't care what the devil's trying to tell me. I am trusting the Lord. Whether the attack comes in a heavy barrage of temptation or an isolated dart of discouragement, depression, or despair, faith is our victory. Though Satan would have us throw down our shields and flee in panic, we can have utter confidence that God is able to protect and provide in all circumstances. Listen to 1 John 5, 1 through 5. Says everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Kind of makes me want to sing, faith is the victory. You see, our faith is what helps us to be victorious. Not because we're the ones who are faithful, but because of who we are faithful to. The object of our faith is what makes us strong. The object of our faith is what gives us victory. Belief in the Son of God. Obeying His commandments. That's what gives us the victory. As long as we remain faithful, we'll be okay. Faith should lead us always. Just like the shield goes out in front of the soldier, our faith should always be leading the way. It should protect us. It should help us as we move forward. As we set up and defend ourselves from the devil. We will not be moved, and we will fight for what's fighting for, what's worth fighting for, if we continue to stay faithful. That faith is what will keep us going. That faith is what helps us fight the good fight and work on helping people achieve that salvation. See, the devil's going to do whatever he can to get in our way. Our job is to take somebody from where they are and move them closer to where God is. Take people and move them closer. We are a moving company, a spiritual moving company. We take people from where they are, move them to where Jesus is. But the devil wants to get in the way. The devil wants to sabotage us. The devil wants to keep us from doing it. That's why we got to have faith to keep that devil away while we continue trying to reach people for Christ. Faith is the victory that we have because it's a shield that protects us as we continue on. That's our individual faith. So where does the church work in? Let's talk about that. Let's talk about the faithful few known as the church. You see, shields that day, there was another reason for them being as tall as they were. It's because whenever you take those shields and you set them side by side by side, you actually form a wall that the Roman soldiers could scoot down behind. So it was a temporary wall that they would set up out there on the battle lines. So this faith, this shield, was forming a wall in order to be able to give them protection corporately. So there was strength in numbers there, so they were able to protect themselves as they're continuing to fight. Well, in the same way, we have strength in numbers today when it comes to the church. You see, when Jesus sent the disciples on their short-term mission trip before the crucifixion, he sent them out in groups of two so that they could help each other stay focused and strong while spreading the good news of Jesus. When they gathered in Jerusalem and Jesus ascended into heaven, they were told to work together and build the church. They were stronger together because they could lean on each other for support. In the same way, we are stronger together. We can help each other work together and stay focused and strong while we're working for the Lord. That's the kind of church we need to be. A church where we can all come together and we can work at keeping ourselves faithful so that we can continue the Lord's work. Can we do this by ourselves? Well, maybe, maybe not. But we can definitely do it when we work together. We are stronger together. We can work better together. We can do this if we continue to stay faithful and continue to stay together. So what leads our church? We're talking about the shield leading. We're talking about how faith should lead us. So what's going to lead our church? What's going to be our driving force? What's going to protect us? Well, is it going to be faith that we're faithful, or is it going to be fear that somehow we become timid at the church, that we don't really want to do much because we're afraid? We need to be faithful. What's going to lead our church? Is it going to be faith, or is it going to be hatred? Is it going to be hatred towards those in the past who may have made us mad? Is it going to be hatred towards those in the community that we may not like? Is it going to be hatred in general towards God because we're disappointed in what's going on in our lives? Or are we going to lead with faith? Are we going to have faith that God can somehow help us work through all of this? The church needs to have faith over fear. The church needs to have faith over hatred. The church needs to have faith over stubbornness, because we all have a little bit of stubbornness in us. We need to make sure that we have faith over stubbornness. We also need to have faith over selfishness. As a church, we need to have less of us and more of God. We need to fade into the background and let God take the lead. Our faith can help us do that. Our faith can shield us as we continue to work for the Lord, as long as our faith is firmly placed in God.